Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings. Tonight, off to a bad start. The kingdom has divided, and we're going to see already there are problems. We have seen the last days of David, the reign of Solomon, from a young man seeking God's wisdom to a man who was ruined by success. Israel divides in two. Solomon failed to do right before God, and for that God was angry. We must always remember to look at the root problem. There are a lot of symptoms, but the root problem is spirituality. Therefore, Solomon failed to do right before God, for that he was angry, and God raised up adversaries against Solomon. Our last study was considering that split of the nation. In chapter 12, verses 1 to 16, we saw that Rehoboam was installed as the king. Jeroboam returned from Egypt, and he asked Rehoboam to lighten the workload. Rehoboam asked for 3 days so that he could get counsel. He rejected the good counsel from the old men, and he accepted the poor counsel of his peers. Rehoboam, therefore, rejected the request of the people, and the kingdom split. This is God's people. Yes, this sort of behavior goes on among God's people, and we must guard against it. This is the grand reality of human interaction. And any saved person still has an old nature. I know back then they weren't sealed by the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking today now. Today we have a Holy Spirit to guide us. Let us yield to that wonderful blessing God has given us. And we think about this, the nation splitting, the natural result, quite often, unfortunately, of human interaction. And we have to stand back and see through all of this God's hand guiding, directing, moving. If God isn't in control of even sinners, there's nobody left. God does guide and direct through sin. This is really what we're seeing. Does God control sin? Yes. Did he not use the sin of Joseph's brothers to cast him into slavery? God does work and use sinners. Everyone we are considering in this passage, everyone is a sinner. And God uses sinners to bring to pass his perfect will. Chapter 12, verses 16 to 35 is our passage for tonight. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel! Now see to thine own house, David." So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. You're saying, well, that's confusing. Welcome to life. You say, well, where are the boundaries? Folks, where are the boundaries in a lot of places? People are still arguing for boundaries that are hundreds of years old. Verse 18, then Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 84,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam the son of Solomon. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and he put the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day on the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Off to a bad start. They're barely out of the starting blocks, and already idolatrous worship is prevalent. Do you want to just stop and think, though, about the whole confusion of this mess? The country has split. Did anybody think through where are they going to worship? They were told in the law, 3 times a year shall the males go back to Jerusalem. Has anybody thought about this? Has anybody thought about the people that don't want to leave? Has anybody thought about banking, employment? Now we are fighting each other. Wouldn't it have been better to work this out when they came and Rehoboam rejected the counsel? And here they are. In this passage, we have Israel divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. 10 tribes to the north. It is called, those 10 tribes are called Israel. The southern Judah and Benjamin, they are called Judah. So the northern kingdom is called Israel. The southern kingdom is called Judah. And sometimes you'll read it and it will talk about Israel, the whole thing. So pay attention. Mankind can make some confusing messes, can't they? Rehoboam tried to tax the northern kingdom. Rehoboam prepares for war but stopped. And then Jeroboam's idolatry. People don't learn. Did you notice that? People tend to not learn. But if you remember, Jeroboam did not approach Rehoboam and say, you know what? I'm upset. We're all upset with this idolatrous worship that you've set up for your wives. They didn't say that. They solicited government for an easier life. Lighten the load. Folks, is that not quite often the case in elections? I promise. And it's not that we're going to pray more. I will lighten the load somehow. No sooner did they leave Rehoboam than they started idolatrous worship, and it came from the top. We don't see anybody praying about anything here. Boy, if we could just learn that simple lesson. Many times what's not written in Scripture, does it say anywhere that they prayed? Well, yeah, to the wrong thing. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel! Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents, but as for the children of Israel which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. I want you to really come to grips with this. Rehoboam said, no, I reject your request, and so the people leave. Had Rehoboam accepted the counsel of the older men, he could have prevented all this. But do you remember back? Solomon was told, it's your fault for your idolatrous worship. I will not rend the nation in your life. I'll do it in your son's life. Got it? It's Solomon's sin, and God says, I am going to tear the kingdom in two, but not in your life for David's sake, but I will do it in Rehoboam's life. So you look at it, you say, was that fair? Folks, God, his will is transcending our lives. And things which have happened hundreds of years ago have brought us to where we are today. If the Lord delays to return, what we're doing today will affect generations to come. This is the grand reality of life. So you look at it and say, wait a minute, I thought it was Solomon's fault because of idolatry, but here's Rehoboam, it's his lack of cooperation. Welcome to life. How are we supposed to fix what Solomon did years ago? I'm sorry. But we can pick up from today, and let's start to do right. The problems of this world are too great to be dwelling on how to rectify everything. Let's start now and do right. You know, Rehoboam is the son that was produced by Solomon. Solomon did not care about the people. He cared about himself and all of his little projects and all of his wives and all of his this and all of that, and everything my eye saw, I took. And that's basically how Rehoboam is now. No, whatever I say is mine, and this is it. But he quickly found out, no, it's not going to work that way for you. He is a product of his father. Then Rehoboam sent Adoram over the tribute, and he went to tax Israel. They didn't have a sense of humor. They stoned him to death. I really believe what we have here is Rehoboam was immediately exacting his power over them. I'm going to tax you. Are you going to bow to me? Or are you going to submit to your new ruler? And so it is, he was killed. Let us read. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. I perceive he was up there with him. And he realized that this mob is an ugly crowd, and I better get out of here and get back. These people weren't kidding. They meant business. Verse 19, so Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. What would you do if you were Adoram and told to go tax these people? Rehoboam, have you thought about this? It's an interesting thing. And how many times do people get put into difficult positions because of lousy leadership that haven't thought things through? A man lost his life. It came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again that they sent and called him into the congregation and made him king over all Israel. Verse 21, and when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, 180,000 men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel. What a mess. What is the world thinking now? This country that was the showcase of the world, the Queen of Sheba traveled, I have heard about this place. Well, now what are they hearing about that place? Folks, the devil wants to ruin what Christians, or shall we say in this case, God's people are doing. Let us live so that God can be pleased with us and use us and let our light shine. Verse 22, and the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. The nation has split. It's a pathetic mess. Now Rehoboam is preparing for war. His intent, of course, is to reunite the 12 tribes under his leadership. If this war comes to pass, many people will fight and die. Families will be broken. Property will be damaged and destroyed. The economy will be hardened. And God's people will be a disgrace before the world. Let's stop and think, folks. Let's not make it any worse. And you look back throughout history how people have suffered because of poor leadership. Rehoboam is still God's anointed king despite of all his failures and sins. He has rejected counsel. He has spoken foolishly. He has sent a tax collector where he should not have been and almost went to war. And God is still in control. We must remember, God is in control. Put down in the columns, the side margin of your notes, Psalm 75:7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and sets up another. God does it. And Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Romans 13:1 and Psalm 75:7. God is in control. And this is why it is so important, first of all, to pray to God for our leaders, do our best to obey our leaders, and ask God for incredible wisdom when they do foolish things. So God sends this word through this man of God, Shemaiah, and he's told to speak to Rehoboam, don't go up and fight. Go everybody back to your house. We don't know anything really about this man other than he was a man of God, and obviously God chose and used him. And that's the way most of God's messengers are. They do a job for him, and it's not about them, it's about God. But I find it interesting that he would not listen to the counsel of the wise advisors of Solomon. He would not listen to the very voice of the people crying out. But he listens to this guy. Do you want me to explain it? I can't. How come sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't listen? Selective hearing. Rehoboam was unwise to forsake the counsel of the old men. He was unwise to accept the counsel of the young men. He was unwise to send Adoram. He was unwise to not pray. And he was wise to obey. Somehow God worked through that man to influence the king. Everybody go home. Quote, Shemaiah, some of you never heard of him. Perhaps you will never hear of him again. He appears once in this history and then he vanishes. He comes and he goes. Only fancy this one man constraining to peace 180,000 chosen men, warriors ready to fight against the house of Israel, by giving to them in very plain, unpolished words the simple command of God, why have we not such power? Peradventure, brethren, we do not always speak in the name of the Lord or speak God's word as God's word. If we are simply tellers of our own thoughts, why should men mind us? Use the word of God. Use the wisdom of God. Ask God to guide your mouth. Adoram has died. The nation is divided, yet Rehoboam does not go back to the old men advisors. Wouldn't that have made sense? You guys were right. I was wrong. But it had to come to this. and he still would not, for whatever reason, go back to them and say, I need your advice. I'll take it from Shemaiah, but not you guys. Some people just are hard-headed. Verse 25, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. Well, Shechem is about 25 or so miles north of Jerusalem. Different country. Jerusalem is in Judah. Now, do you want me to compound it a little more? There's the tribe of Judah, and then there's the kingdom of Judah. The tribe of Judah is part of the southern kingdom, Judah. Judah, the tribe, and Benjamin, the tribe, together make Judah. Honest, I didn't do that to try to confuse you. I hope that cleared it. Jeroboam stood for the people before Rehoboam concerning work conditions. He did not protest the spiritual condition of Israel. Thus, the people of the northern kingdom were more concerned about their working conditions. And here they are building more things. Shechem, Penuel. And what is Jeroboam's concern? Verse 26, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, remember that was 13 years in building, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord. Now, wait a minute. Jeroboam, weren't you approached by the prophet Ahijah? And he tore the garment in 12 pieces and told you to take 10? And he told you it was from God, and here it's happened? And didn't he tell you, and you got the word of God, if you do right and you serve God, God will bless you and bless you and bless you, and all of a sudden now, well, I'm going to lose the kingdom. So I better set up worship in Israel so that they don't have to go down to Judah, because that'll be a mess, and I can't let that happen. And it was all about him and all about his power and being the king. Take a look at it. 1 Kings 11:31, and he said to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give 10 tribes to thee. If God said it, it's going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. Look at 1 Kings 11:38. And it shall be, if thou, Jeroboam, wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, God is speaking to him, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with thee. I will build thee a sure house, as I built for David. I will give Israel unto thee. And instead, oh no, I'm going to lose the kingdom. Oh no, we never do this, do we? We find peace in the Word of God, and all of a sudden the trials and tribulations of life come, and it's now, what am I going to do? Trust God. What did he say to do? I told you I would give it to you if you live right before me. It's the same challenge he gave to Solomon. 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Well, thank you for thinking of us. How about the spiritual life of the nation? But again, it's too far to go that distance. Don't do that. Not thinking about the good and the spiritual. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Does that not sound exactly the words that they said after they passed through the Red Sea and Moses was up on Mount Sinai and the people rose up and said, these are the gods. And they worship a golden calf. And they have the same thing again. Do we learn? And he set the one in Bethel and he put the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. And he made a house of the high places and made priests of the lowest of the people. Remember, it was a big deal earlier in 1 Kings that Solomon straightened out the priesthood. It was supposed to be in the line of Eleazar. It got into the line of Ithamar. And so Solomon straightened it out. He put Zadok of the line of Eleazar in as the high priest. Now we have a man who's setting up of the lowest of the people. And they don't even have the right place to worship. And they're not even focusing on the true God that delivered them. This became a great sin to them. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month. On the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that's in Judah. Now, there is no provision in the law whatsoever for a feast to be done on that date. This was something that he came up with. Let's do this. 32, Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that's in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. How quickly he forgot. And he placed in Bethel priests of high places which he had made, and he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had advised of his own heart. Where'd it come from? Boy, this would make a great day. Let's do it here. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Look at verse 31. And he made a high house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, not the sons of Levi. This is terrible sin. This is terrible sin. I want you to consider 2 Chronicles chapter 11, which is a parallel passage. 2 Chronicles 11:13. And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. What a mess! What a mess! He established his own day for worship. He put out the true priests. And the nation's a disaster. Quote, the glory of the kingdom of Israel was in its height and perfection in Solomon. It was long in coming to it, but it soon declined and began to sink and wither in the very next reign. As we find in this chapter, where we have the kingdom divided and thereby weakened and made little in comparison with what it had been. Here is Rehoboam's ascension to the throne and Jeroboam's return out of Egypt. The people's petition to Rehoboam for the redress of grievances and the rough answer he gave. We have here the revolt of 10 tribes and their setting up by Jeroboam. And we have here Rehoboam's attempt to reduce them and the prohibition God gave them to attempt. Jeroboam's establishment of his government upon idolatry. Thus did Judah become weak, being deserted by their brethren, and Israel by deserting the house of the Lord. I have intentionally put these verses at the end of your verse sheet in an order because I want you to see an extremely profound and significant theme running through this. As we consider this mess that people have made of life and the nation and the worship and the glory to God, I want you to notice this. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 12. Notwithstanding, God says to Solomon, I will not do it. I will not rend the nation from you. I will not do it for David thy father's sakes, but I will rend it. God is in control. God is behind it. Got it? Next, verse 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. God's in control. God did it. Verse 23. And God stirred him up another adversary. God's in control. God did it. Chapter 11, verse 31. And he said to Jeroboam, this is now the prophet speaking to him, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will, God will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give it 10 tribes to thee. Got it? Who's in control? God is in control. Chapter 12, verse 15. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. Why? For the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite. God did it. God's in control. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. I am in control. Folks, if we could truly appreciate, in the midst of a national split among God's people, we have here a terrible condition, and you read through it and see God's in control, God's in control, God did it, God did it, God's in control. This is the very lesson that Joseph learned, and you read this in Genesis when Joseph talked to his brothers and he says, God did it, God did it, God did it. And the truth is they did it with their hatred, but he knew God was behind it. God controls hatred. God uses it to his glory. I have used this illustration before, but it fits well. Many years ago, I took lifeguard training. And the theory is you swim up to the victim and you take them by the chin, you pull them back, you give them the cross chest, okay? And if that doesn't work and you're pulling them and they're fighting you, now you take this arm and you take and you come around and you've got them over the shoulder and under the arm and you're hanging on to them. And you use a scissors kick to take them back to shore. What do you do if it's a brute? And this guy you cannot handle. You take your legs and you wrap them around his torso, you lock your ankles, and you hang on for dear life. But how do you move through the water? You use the person's thrashing. And you just hang on for the ride and steer. And they're the ones propelling you back to shore. This is all God does. If you're going to be this way, fine, I'll turn it this way. Are you going to do this? Great, I'll turn it this way. God's in control, folks. If you didn't get anything else out of this message, God's in control. Fluff up the pillow tonight and have a good night's sleep.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.